God bless you, family. God bless you, all my friends and family. This is Gail Manizak with City Changers Illinois and the Power and Presence Ministry. And I absolutely just want to thank you for joining me today. And thank you for little notes along the way that bring encouragement to me. Sometimes it seems like each and every one of us do need encouragement at different times. Today I'm going to talk about resisting the enemy, resisting the attacks upon our life. Amen. Is that not an important subject right now to be focused on, is how to resist what the enemy is bringing against us in against our mind, against our physical body, against our moral life, etc. You know, the devil tends to attack us primarily in those three areas: our physical body, our intellectual mind, and our morality. So as we resist Satan's wiles and his attacks biblically, then we find that there is constant victory, because the Bible says, submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee. So in spiritual warfare against the enemy of our souls, we have to use the word of God to fight, just like Jesus did. And I'm going to get into that a little bit. And some of you already know that, and some of you don't. So let's go over it. First of all, let me say this. In 1968, evangelist Billy Graham said, "It seems as if a horde of violent demons has been let loose in our country." He said that when Senator Robert Kennedy was assassinated in 1968. So I say that now. I've been saying that for 2 or 3 years. It seems like hordes of demons have been loosed in our country. I'm much older than probably most of you, but when I look back over 50 years, I see a cities and towns and people that were, you know, conservative, fairly good, clean people, and you didn't see a lot of blatant sin in your face. Now that's what we see. We have everything from homosexuality to drugs to drinking, which we did have that. There were people that drank, of course there were. But everything wasn't just so blatantly out in the open that it was in people's face. So anyway, as Billy Graham said that, it seems equally true, if not more so, in our day right now, and I'm talking about March of 2022, demonic attacks against people's minds, souls, and bodies, it seemed to be the rule anymore, not the exception. So fortunately, we do know the Lord, we who know the Lord have an effective defense against demonic warfare, all right? And let's, first of all, before I get into the actual message, let's establish a few facts, because there are people today that don't even believe in the devil. There are people today that think that's just some type of fallacy or some type of myth. Let me tell you, God's about to show up on the scene and show everybody that none of this, including Jesus Christ and his soon return, is a myth, is a joke or a myth. None of it. It's not a fairy tale. This is the facts. In John 8:44, the devil was a murderer from the beginning, it says. So let's just go over for a minute who he is. A murderer, physical attack against mankind. In Luke 13, for example, there was a bent over woman who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Now, many of you might have seen that on in a movie. They usually include that particular woman, that particular miracle. So for 18 years, whom Satan, it says Satan had kept her bound for a long 18 years. The numerous physical healings in the Gospels, by exorcism, by casting the devil out. Let's just be blunt. I'm not saying that a born-again Christian can be demon-possessed. A born-again Christian is possessed by God. They got their issues and their problems and their troubles with demons, but they are possessed by God. Sometimes I do believe that Christians need deliverance. Yes, I do. Because at times Christians open the door to the devil, just like people who are not Christians. I'm not really certain to what precise extent the devil can afflict Christians, but we do know, broadly speaking, that Satan, in his intent, is always to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. Excuse me. It can be said that with certainty, though, that we are in an ongoing spiritual warfare. And our warfare is against the devil and his demons. Our warfare, the Bible is real clear, is not against flesh and blood. But our warfare is against the devil. John 8:44, the devil, there is no truth in him. He is a liar. So we've established that. He's a murderer. He's a liar. The devil's a liar. And mental attacks against mankind. His attempts are to deceive the mind. His attempts are always begin at our mind, I believe. Unless we're under a physical attack where he's attacked our body. I still somehow believe, and I maybe can't prove that by scripture, just thinking off the top of my head here. But I still somehow believe that even those attacks that come against our body begin in the mind. We are so easily at the point where we will receive anything. You know, the doctor says you got diabetes. The first thing words out of your mouth could be, oh, my diabetes. My diabetes? It is not your diabetes. It's the devil's diabetes. And it is God who will heal you. We take ownership of stuff that we should not even consider is ours. It's not from heaven, then it's not ours. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, the devil said to Eve, he said, you will not surely die. And yet, contrary to the devil's lying promise, Adam and Eve most surely did die, right? And through their sin, mortality has come upon the entire human race. So we've got to deal with the devil. Yeah, we were born into it. We were not Adam and Eve. We didn't choose it. But you know what? We were born into it, and we got to deal with it. So we have to deal with different ways that the enemy comes against us. Let me bring up a few. Like, say there's a couple that they're in a happy marriage, and here's how the enemy does. He'll whisper in somebody's ear. Whisper in one of those couples' ear. Just leave him or her. Just leave him. This was never going to get any better. He always has something negative to whisper in your ear. And of course, he's whispering in your ear because he is a hidden enemy. And he stays hidden because if you saw him, you would tell him to get on his way. You would cast him out yourself. You would cast him away from you yourself. Then you know, he might say something like in regard to our day-to-day living, that's the way religion is too. So don't get too involved with it, because you'll only be disappointed. That would be something like what the enemy would say. Negative, negative, negative. Trying to what? Keep you away from God or cause you to sin. In 1 John 3 and 8, the devil has been sinning from the beginning, the Bible says. The devil is an experienced sinner. Amen. He never ceases to bring temptations against the moral side of us. So say to a Christian man that might be, he might be battling with lust or something like that. The enemy would whisper in his ear, those porn sites are okay. You're just looking. You're not really sinning. Have you ever heard those words? The devil is whispering in your ear, it's okay to do a little bit. You're not really sinning by looking. Now that person has already forgot what Jesus said. To look upon a woman, to lust after her, you've committed adultery. Excuse me, already in your heart. You know, then the enemy might say something different to a woman, just I can't even think offhand of what the enemy might say. You know, you go ahead and fantasize, lady. It don't matter, because you're really not going to act out those fantasies. You know, well, let me tell you, that's almost just like looking at porn. And it could be just like looking at porn. I don't know. And then maybe to a student, the old devil, he might say, go ahead and smoke that joint. It ain't going to hurt you. Smoke one joint. It is not going to hurt you. Just one. Just one. So I just want to tell you that demonic attacks and spiritual warfare against us come mostly from three different directions, and that is, again, the physical, the intellectual, which is the mind, and the moral. So God has made provision for us to overcome these three different types of attacks. In 1 John 3 and 8, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. So remember, Jesus already came to destroy the devil's work. Eliminate the fear factor. Satan has been defeated. And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. Don't give the devil a foothold. Give no place, no foothold to the devil. Give him no occasion to get his foot in the door. Because as you open that door a little bit, he's going to come flying in. Amen? You're going to have demonic oppression come against you. And I'm telling you what, if you open the door, I'll give you just a prime real-time example. You open the door to pornography, and I'll tell you, it will take you down a road you never thought you would go. My first husband went down that road, and I chose God, and he chose the ways of the world. He was so involved in porn and womanizing, he ended up abusing little children in the end, towards the, I don't remember what age he was. I don't remember what age he was, but towards the middle of his life, ended up abusing young girls and ended up in prison for life. And that's where he died. Let me tell you, he was actually worked for the sheriff's department himself before he retired. So it will take you down a road you never thought, you never had any intention of going, and you never thought you would go there. So don't open that door. When we're talking about open doors, you can open doors to the devil. And if you do, you better close it quickly. How do you close a door to the... I'm going to just... That thought came to my mind. I'm going to just say something about that. You close the door. If you know you've opened a door to the enemy, you renounce that sin. You renounce whatever it was you did. You repent before God, and you command that devil to go from you. Go to the pit. And if you haven't done that, let me tell you, he'll be hanging around because he's a legalist. And the Bible says he needs to be cast out. Do I believe, you know, I won't even go there. The Bible goes on, the Bible that tells us to set no vile thing before our eyes. Don't go to places. Don't go to places where there is temptation. Why would you walk in a bar if you know God doesn't want you to drink? Why would you walk in one of those adult bookstores if you know God does not want you to be looking at porn or doing any of those things that you do with those things in that store? Don't let compromising male-female situations develop either. Watch out for weariness, because you might let your moral guard down. 1 John 5 and 8, we know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin, and the one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. A godly walk, or let me put it this way, one who does not continue to sin will bring about the second part of that scripture, the evil one cannot harm you. Because you did not continue in sin. Amen? And this is probably the ultimate fulfillment of giving no place to the devil. Your pure and your godly walk with God shuts the door to the devil's seductions. Once again, let me quote that scripture. Submit to God. It's in James. Submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee. So the Bible says the devil has been sinning from the beginning. In God, there is no sin. Let me tell you, in God, there is no sin. There is no darkness in him. So you can see what directional effect sin has in our lives, away from God, and tries to draw us toward the devil and the ways of sin. Matthew 4:34, Matthew 4, verse 3 and 4. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God. Now this is when Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit. Let me make that clear in case you have not read it. Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written. I want you to remember those words. It is written. Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So those words, it is written, resist the devil with the word of God. That is our sword. That is what we fight with, is the word of God. I think Paul calls it the sword of the Spirit in Ephesians chapter 6, the warfare chapter. Fill yourself, people, with the word of God. Be filled with that word, so when temptation comes your way or something comes your way that you know it's not of God, you have something to fight with. Psalms 119, excuse me. One of those mornings. Psalms 119:9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. And then verse 11 goes on to say, I have hid. Let me get something for my throat here. I have hid your word in my heart that I might not
sin against you.
Amen. So that tells us right there, because of the word of God that is in our heart, that is our protection, it's our weapon, it's our warfare, it's our sword. Amen. We take that out when the enemy comes against us. And here was the scripture in James 4, verses 7 and 8. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So we want to resist the devil, living close to God as possible. Submitted to God with our heart, mind, and soul. Not opening doors to the enemy, and living pure lives without and within. So no matter that the devil, I'm going to close right here. No matter that the devil does come to steal, kill, and destroy, as it says in John 10:10, Jesus has already defeated the devil at the cross. So we can resist him successfully in Jesus' name. Not in our name, but in Jesus' name. Learn to use that name, because that name is powerful. In the name of Jesus, that is our power of attorney to live life victoriously. And I am going to close here. And God bless you, each and every one. Have an amazing week. Have an amazing day in Jesus' name. Good morning, family and friends. Thank you for joining me this morning. Amen. This is a beautiful, beautiful morning filled with rain. Amen. Thinking of that scripture, it rains on the just and the unjust, right? We need the rain. Nothing will grow without the rain. That includes you and me. Praise the Lord. So I was just thinking of that song, An Awesome God. He is an awesome God. God is infinite. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-capable. There is no limit to what God can do. Yet despite this, to their own harm, his followers tend to what? Minimize God's unlimited power by erroneous thinking. And we're going to look at that. Excuse me, look at some scriptures. We're going to go to begin in Psalm 78. The Bible says, they vexed the Holy One of Israel, verse 42. They did not remember his power the day he redeemed them from the oppressor, verse 43. The day he displayed his miraculous signs in Egypt, his wonders in the region of Zoan. And then verse 41 in the King James Version, yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited. I want that word to stand out to you today. Limited the Holy One of Israel. We do not want to limit God. The word limited used by the King James Version is rendered differently in various different translations. But the verse surrounding verse 41 certainly make a good case for the use of the quote limited, the word limited, in this context. Israel diminished their expectations of our unlimited God. God is not limited in any way, shape, or form. Amen. There is absolutely nothing that limits him. There is nothing impossible with him. And I suppose if there was anything that limited God, it would be us who put him in a box and keep him there. Amen. So verse 42, they did not remember his power, his miraculous signs in Egypt, his wonders. So basically, they put their own limitations, as I said, on God's intervention in their lives by failing to remember the historical demonstrated power, signs and wonders of God. So like Israel of old, we too, us today, at times we have limited God, not necessarily deliberately, definitely many, most times not deliberately, but we still often diminish our expectations of his endless power on our behalf. We consider him as less than omnipotent, right? We doubt his constant willingness to bless us. We do not, quote, do not remember his power, his miraculous signs, and his wonders. We forget Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. So he is forever the same all-powerful God who delights in blessing his people. He delights in you. Jesus healed all who came to him. They came to him in faith and he healed them. The Apostle Paul healed individuals and the multitudes as well. The Apostle Paul had a remarkable record for ministering divine healing. Philip had great healings in Samaria. God, through a disciple named Ananias, healed Paul's blindness when Paul first came to Jesus. So not just Jesus, but believers consistently healed the sick. So don't limit God to healing only while Jesus walked on the earth. God still heals today. And who does he do it through? You and me. Amen? So don't restrict God to healing only through the apostles. It is the honor and privilege of all of us believers. It says in Mark 16, to lay hands on the sick and to see the sick recover. In Exodus 23, worship the Lord your God and his blessing will be on you, on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you. So for the worshipers of God, he is the Lord who will take sickness from you. And this taking away of sickness is one of God's blessings for the worshiper of God. It is also one of God's benefits for his children. See Psalms 103 verses 2 and 3. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. What is that saying? Heals all your diseases. You don't have to be sick. Don't take ownership of your sickness. Let the words all your diseases mean exactly that. Don't limit God in his desire to heal you. He wants to heal you. Exodus 15, 26, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Right? So God is not bringing diseases on anyone. That's not what God does. He heals the sick. Amen. So for the godly believer, God is not the afflictor. He is not the afflictor with the diseases, but he is the healer from all diseases. Do you think of miracles as only for the Bible days, or do you believe that miracles are for you today? You know, this is a serious question. Do you think of miracles as only for the Bible days? Because many do. Or do you believe that miracles are for you today? I believe they're for me. I believe they're for you. In Malachi, the Bible says, the Lord says, I am the Lord, I change not. So remember, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus performed miracles in the first century. He is the same today and still does miracles in the 21st century. Amen. God does miracles today. Neither God the Father nor Jesus Christ his Son has changed. They have not changed. They still do the same things today that they did, that we read in the Bible. They worked miracles among the people in times of old. They continue to work miracles in modern times today. So we can't limit God's miraculous acts only to days gone by. Amen. He did not only do miracles in days gone by. He still does miracles today. Let's open up our thinking. Let's throw off all the weights and sin which so easily besets us, I want to say. So also, don't limit the extent of what God can do. He loves you. His power is not finite, but unfettered and all-encompassing. So let's go to 2 Kings 4, verses 1 through 7. Elisha said, go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. You know, God wants us to ask big. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side. And then in verse 6, when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is no jar left. So then the oil stopped flowing, and she went and she told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. So we cannot limit God's ability to provide supernaturally. Through the prophet Elijah, God was going to provide a miraculous supply of valuable oil for this destitute widow. And he told her, he said, borrow empty jars and don't ask for just a few. So Elisha understood God's unlimited power, and he understood his limitless care for his people. God miraculously filled every single jar brimful and delivered the widow from her poverty. He did not leave her wanting anything. Amen. And he, you know, we've got to come to the point where we believe the Bible and know that he wants to do the same for us. So I tell you today, if you're looking for a miracle in your life, don't ask for just a little of God's help. There's no limit to what God can do to help you. His ability to meet your need is without boundaries. God knows no limits. If the Lord says, come, then you, like Peter, can walk on water. Amen. Matthew 14, 29. You can walk on water. And I know, you know, some of you may not believe that, and it's even hard to believe, but you can do it by the power of God. If you encounter a demon-possessed person, you know you can ask the demon, cast the demon out in Jesus' name without waiting to call the church elders. You have the power. You have the anointing of God in you. It's the miraculous power of God through you. Don't limit God and what he can do for you and through you, for your family and through your family. We have to remember that Jesus's miraculous multiplying of the loaves and the fish and the feeding of thousands, as a result, he's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is our provider as well as our healer. Amen. Hebrews 13, verse 8. And then we remember Abraham and Isaac in Genesis 22 on Mount Moriah. Jehovah Jireh. Amen. Genesis 22:14. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. It means, Jehovah Jireh means the Lord will provide. And God miraculously provided a ram for their sacrifice. And then Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In context to the giving believer, God will supply all your needs. So your, quote, all, be all. Don't underestimate God's ability and his willingness to provide for you, because his bounty is unlimited. There are no limits with God. He can go far beyond what you can even ask or think or believe. And then as we talk about God's provision, let's talk about protection. The Bible abounds with examples of God's sovereign, supernatural protection and deliverance of his people. Look at the three men in the fiery furnace. Look at Daniel in the lion's den. If you haven't read those stories yet, read them. Peter freed from jail by an angel. The angel of the Lord encamping around and delivering those who fear God. Psalms 91, thousands falling all around you, but it will not come near you, the believer in God. So don't underestimate God's limitless ability to protect you. And not only you, but your family. I'm going to close with Matthew 9:28, or come close to closing, through 30. Do you believe that I am able to do this? Yes, Lord. This is what the blind man said. He had asked Jesus to heal him. Do you believe? Jesus said, do you believe that I am able to do this? And the blind man replied, yes, Lord. Then he touched his eyes and said, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. So it was done unto him. He was healed. His vision was healed. So we cannot, in closing, we cannot put boundaries on God. I cannot say that enough. Don't put God in a box, and if you have, let him out. Reread your Bible in the full context of what it means. Ask Holy Spirit to help you understand the Word of God, the power of God, the anointing of God, the healing, the miracles, the provision, the protection. Ask the Lord to help you to understand in a greater way than you ever have before in your life. According to your faith, these things and more will be done to you. Will be done to you. Believe God and don't limit the Holy One of Israel.